reading to you from the 18th chapter of Luke, and with the 29th verse. And he said unto them, Truly, truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house, or wife, or brothers, or parents, or children, for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times as much as this time, and in the ages to come, eternal life. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. As you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, and I gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington, at 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, you know, winter's coming on us. I can sit here in my office, and I can look up in the mountains, and boy, there's lots of snow. I like it up there. I don't particularly want it down here. But, you know, we have to have it. Well, listen, folks, I'll be with you for half an hour. Why don't you just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 1 Peter, and let's begin reading from the first verse. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, which are chosen, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that you may obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, folks, I've labeled this reasons to praise the Lord. Well, now listen, let's get this letter from Peter. Here's a man who had trouble with his temper. Yes, he did. A man who had trouble with temptations. A man who had trouble with his tongue. To know Peter well is to know ourselves well. Listen to this. Listen. He had this letter was to believers, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that you may obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in fullest measure. A letter that begins with reasons to praise the Lord, giving us a living hope. Oh, friends, there's so much sorrow in the world today. There's a lot of Republicans that are very sorry today, and there's a lot of Democrats who are real happy, and they're beating on their chest. Well, dear friends, you say, well, Cecil, sounds to me like you're not a Democrat lover. Listen, I am an independent as you can get. I wish there was a four-parted program in this world today. You know, all I've ever heard this last year
was fighting the Democrats, fighting the Republicans. They're back there fighting each other, trying to dig up trash on each other. They don't give a hoot what happens to you and I or our country. Listen, we live in the greatest nation in all this world. I wouldn't trade our American flag. I wouldn't trade America for any part of the world that I've been in. But anyway, Peter said, listen, God has given us a living hope unto a lively hope. The condition of all people without Christ. Listen to this. There is no real hope. I read in Ephesians
12, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. Listen, they didn't have any hope, folks. The Bible tells us in Ephesians that at one time you and I were dead in trespasses and sin. Now, if you're born again, you've been quickened by the Spirit. You've been made alive. Your name is written in the Lamb Book of Life. And then someday when this life is over, you got a great big old mansion waiting for you. I do too. Oh my, isn't that going to be something? And when you think we're going to get to see Jesus. Friends, listen, I've been preaching about him for 51 years. I know he's real. I know he heals. I know he takes care of us when we're in trouble. One that careth for you, Peter said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. They may have false hopes in Proverbs 11:7. When a wicked man dies, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of a strong man perishes. Well, contrast to these Peter's living hope, Christ is alive. Romans 1:4, who has declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. Dear friends, listen to me. Listen to me very carefully. Had Jesus not come forth out of that grave, our faith would be absolutely in vain. That's exactly right. He had to come from the dead. He had to resurrect the third day. That was prophesied all the way from the beginning of the Bible down to this day. He had to come forth from the grave. He arose. Oh, my beloved friends, if you're not born again, this means absolutely nothing to you. You say, Cecil, you know what? I really would like to believe in Jesus. I really would. Well, you say you can't. Well, here's the game plan. Here's what you do. You bow your head right now, and you say, Lord, help thou mine unbelief. Help me to believe on you, Lord, because I sure don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to live a decent life on this earth. You even said we could have the abundant life. Boy, that abundant life is real. Well, you see, our salvation is guaranteed. 1 Corinthians 15:3 through 6. For I delivered to you as of first importance, which I also received, that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Caiaphas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now. You say, well, I don't believe. Well, it's true. 500 people saw him. Cephas saw him. All those people saw him. Yes, we have a guarantee that we're going to see him. And our similar resurrection is for sure. You see, God has given us a lasting inheritance, verse 4, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. When you go to a fancy restaurant, you usually ask to call in a reservation. And when you get there, you give them your name, and they look on the list. Oh, yes, you have a reservation, and come on in. Well, God's given us a reservation. Oh, friends, don't let no one kid you. That reservation is for real. And again, if it were not for the resurrection, it wouldn't be worth a plug nickel. Peter was the son of a poor fisherman. Now, his earthly inheritance would have been small had he left all to follow Christ, even left his small inheritance. Friends and relatives may have wondered, what is wrong with Peter? Doesn't he have any thought for the future? Now, Peter realized that he had a great inheritance ahead, one that is incorruptible, won't decay, one that is defiled, it's pure, one that will not fade away, not a mirage, one that is reserved in heaven. We are perishing people among perishing things. In Christ, we do not perish, nor does our inheritance. God's given us a lifetime of powerful protection, verse 5 and 7, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Friends, He has given us a lifetime of powerful protection, who are kept by the power of God. Kept is a military word, you know. We are guarded by the power of God. All power is given unto Jesus in heaven and earth. Our Lord cares for us every day. Friends, listen. He provides power to overcome temptation. You say, Cecil, you know what? Many times I've been tempted to go out and commit a terrible sin. I have been tempted to even cheat on my husband or my wife or this and that. Let me tell you what. The Bible said God will put no more on us than what we can bear, but with us he'll offer to escape. That's what God used on me the morning he delivered me from tobacco. I could not quit smoking. God delivered me from alcohol, but I kept those cigarettes for myself. I've heard Pentecostals say, well, hey, if you were still smoking, you ain't saved. Oh, my stars in the morning, what a bunch of ignorant people. What a bunch of ignorant people. It doesn't say, for by quitting smoking are you saved. For by grace you're saved through faith. And that, not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, even our testing and trials are temporary, it says in 6. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you may have been distressed by many trials. You're going to have them, beloved. I know people who really honestly believe if they repent of their sins and come to Jesus and accept Him as Savior, they will never have another problem. They'll never have a financial problem. They'll never have a physical problem, and on and on. Now, that's what these namers and claimers tell you, that once you put your trust in Jesus and send Him a $1,000 seed offering, your family will be saved, and you won't have no more problems. Well, that's all hog rubbish. It's not true. They lie like a bunch of dogs. It's not true. Don't buy this prosperity religion. There's a lot of rich Christians, and I know a lot of poor Christians. Not necessarily, they might be poor in money, but not in spirit. You know, problems now, praise later at the Lord's return. Even our testing and trials, like I say, are temporary. Peter blesses the Lord in view of his living hope. In view of his lasting inheritance, in view of his lifetime of praise, powerful protection. Good reason for us is also to praise the Lord. And you know what? Let me ask you, dear friends, can you right now say praise the Lord and mean it? You say, I just lost my job. Can you say praise the Lord? Friends, let me tell you a story that happened to me, and it's such a wonderful story. Years and years ago, I was a carpenter in Portland, Oregon, working for Walsburn Construction Company. And one day we were out there and sitting out there and eating our lunch, and this foreman said to me, "Hey, Cecil, I hear you're a preacher." And I said, "That's correct." "Well," he said, "you know what I believe?" And I said, "No, what do you believe?" He said, "I believe men come from monkeys." I said, "In your particular case, I wouldn't doubt it." And I was fired. I embarrassed that man. He was making fun of me and my God. I called his hand. Well, I got fired. And folks, listen. I was making $500. Excuse me. I was making $500 a week. I lost my job. I got a job for $175 a month, emptying bedpans in a rest home and cooking for the night crew. I kept praising the Lord and kept winning souls for Christ through that experience. Well, let me tell you, one night a young man came in on the kitchen where I was getting the lunch ready. He said, "I understand you're a preacher." I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Well, so am I." He said, "Do you remember the lady on the second floor?" I said, "Oh, yeah, I remember her." "Well," he said, "you know, she's lost." I said, "I know that. I've witnessed to her." He said, "Let's kneel right here. Let's claim that lady for the Lord." And we did. And I went upstairs at about 2 hours later and introduced that lady to Christ. And then I led her alcoholic husband to Christ that following Saturday. It was through those two people that I was able to start my first church in Corbett, Oregon. And 1 year later, 50 people had given their hearts to Christ. Yes, you can praise the Lord. And you know what? He'll be with you through every trial that you'll ever experience. He sure will. You say, "Well, Cecil, you know, listen, I don't care what's happening. He knows about it." Let me ask you this. Have you been talking to him about it? You say, "What do you mean?" Just what I said. Have you been talking to the Lord about your problem? Have you told him that you lost your job? You say, "Well, he already knows it." Sure, he knows it. But he wants you to confide in him. He wants you to look to him. He wants you to follow his instructions. Now, we're going to have trials, and if you don't think you are, you're in for a treat. You're going to have them. My dear friends, I've had health problems ever since I've been a Christian. I've had some serious health problems, in and out of the hospital. And I'm still sick. Not really sick, but I am sick. Diabetes is a terrible thing to have. My feet, my legs hurt all the time. I still praise the Lord. I still go to prison and introduce men and women to Christ. I can praise the Lord today for what he's done for me. And you can too. You say, "Wait a minute," Cecil. "Whoa, I got a problem." "Well, what's your problem?" "Well, I don't know Jesus." "Well, let me ask you this question. Do you want to know Jesus? Are you willing to confess that you're a sinner? Are you willing to believe that Christ died on the cross of Calvary for your sins and mine? Are you willing to do that?" "Well, then here's your next step. Your next step is that you got to tell him that you're a sinner. And you got to ask him to forgive you. That's as plain and simple as I can put it." So here's how it goes. If God's Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart right now, I want you to bow your head with me. And please, dear friends, if you don't really mean this, don't pray it. Oh, please don't. But here's how the prayer goes. "Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for what I've done to you, my family, my loved ones. And Lord, the best way I know how right now, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen." If you prayed that, admit it, I want you to call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Friends, I don't care where you go to church. I am concerned where you spend eternity. Now, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but if you feel I can help you spiritually, won't you call me? You're going to ask me some questions I don't know the answer. I'll find them for you. Oh, sure I will. I'll find them. Well, dear friends, if you prayed that prayer, I do want to hear from you.
Fallen man, held hostage by sin, doomed to a perilous fate. See a loving father, pain and mercy in his eyes, giving one son so that
instead, he came.
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. I want to take this time to thank my dear brother, Bill Elton. He sent me a CD of Liberty Quartet. I want you to know that is the wildest, wonderful, wonderful, oh, some of the music on it. I can just sit there and tears stream down my eyes. Thank you, Bill. I'm going to play some on a broadcast one of these days soon. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday, I'd like to have you remember me and my wife and family in prayer and our new Quays Quartet as we go to prisons and we go to churches and rescue missions. That God will bless us and give us precious souls for hire. And that's all the pay we get, and that's all I need. Oh, I tell you, working for Jesus is a joy, and if you've never done it, you ought to try it. Especially if you're born again, you should be doing something for Jesus today. Yes, you should. Okay, well, until this time next week, God bless you and stay sweet. Night.